Welcome to another podcast at the Roots of the Money Tree. I'm Colby Gilmore, and I have here Ryan Anderson.
Howdy.
And today we just got a special podcast for you. Really, it's not every day you get to interview your co-host. It's not every day. Well, maybe it is every day that the Houston How To gets interviewed. But we have a very special one with Ryan and his lovely wife, Katie, that they recently did for their church. It's called Money, Marriage, and Accountability. And instead of just recreating the will and interviewing them ourselves, which might be hard for Ryan to interview himself and his wife, we're just going to tee it up and let you listen to that wonderful interview that they did here a couple of weeks ago. So Ryan, could you just give us and the listener an overview of what they're going to listen to before they jump into that?
Sure. So this podcast, Katie and I talk about one of the most powerful things that we've done to strengthen our marriage. And it was really scary too. And that was sharing our financial info with a group of friends, really going through all our financial statements, showing them what we had, and then letting them ask us questions about anything they wanted financially. So why did you give this much? Why did you save this much? Why are you spending this much? But more importantly, how are you guys interacting with money? Do you have conflict because of money? What does that look like? And so it was a really, really powerful moment for us, and really encourage other people to do that with a trusted group of friends. We go into what we did, what that night looked like, and then how that conversation 7 years ago has changed our marriage. And a lot of times revealing our financial information feels off limits and strange, even in deep church relationships where we're not hesitant to talk through any other sins. But the money one is always something that people feel a little uncomfortable about. But keeping those issues to ourselves and siloed in our marriages is a recipe for sin and miscommunication with our spouse. We tried to open our whole life, including our money life, to trusted friends. And that really took away the burden of walking through financial issues alone. It has given us a lifeline that we can reach out to if money's leading to stress and pain and hurt. So really enjoyed doing it 7 years ago, really enjoyed doing recording this podcast, and I'm excited for you to listen to it.
Well, thanks, Ryan. I enjoyed it, and I know others will enjoy, benefit, and wrestle with it. I got to say one thing I struggled with it was, how do you find people that you're this trustworthy with?
Yeah, we really lucked out. When we moved to Houston, we came from a huge church and we decided we wanted something a little smaller. And we weren't thinking quite so small, but we ended up going to a church that was just starting out. It had maybe 50 people. And we met some couples at our church membership class, kind of the very beginning, and formed a relationship with them. And we've been great friends with them for years now. And so we just lucked out and got some good friends, but I would start at church.
That's a good place as any. Well, yeah. Thanks Ryan for giving us this. And I hope you guys enjoy what's to come next in this audio.
Thanks, Colby. Yeah. Thanks, Colby.
Take care.
Hello, and welcome back to another episode of our podcast. In our last episode, we were joined by Randy Schrader and heard so much incredible wisdom on what it looks like to navigate the conversation of money with your adult kids. If you are a parent, a grandparent, hope to have kids in the future, or hope to incorporate the topic of money into meaningful conversations with your family, be sure to go back and give this a listen. Today, I am joined by my co-host, Ryan Anderson, and his beautiful wife, Katie. You know them and love them, and we get the privilege to dive into the conversation of money and accountability together. I know this conversation will be such a gift for all of us as we seek to process all aspects of our lives in trusted community. So Ryan and Katie, welcome. So glad you guys are here.
Thanks, Timber.
Thank you.
We got the boys in the other room watching a movie, so we should be good.
Let's see how this goes.
Special guest stars.
I'd love to know what their thoughts are on the conversation as well. So I'd love to start by just hearing an introduction from each of you. Ryan, I know we've heard you on the podcast before, but maybe both of you could speak to just a brief kind of version of your story and then maybe how you guys met and got married.
Yeah, go for it.
Ryan and I met at Texas A&M University.
Whoop.
Goodness. We met through a study abroad program. We studied abroad in Strasbourg, France, and actually met. We had these meetings beforehand about, you know, learning French words and how to not look like an American student in a foreign country. And we met, and then we had so much fun in France and traveled with a group of friends on the weekends in Europe around, and got back to College Station. Thought, no need to start dating in the most romantic place in the world. Let's really kick this off at the Whataburger.
Sure. Yeah. That's where all good things start.
And that's exactly what happened. It was so great. And that was, what year are we in? That was 13 years ago, which is wild.
It is.
And we've been married 9 years.
Wow. Almost nine
wow. years, yeah.
It's amazing.
Got three little babes. Living a great life.
So good. And where did you grow up, Katie?
I grew up in the Rio Grande Valley in McAllen, Texas, so right on the border with my brother David, who is also a host of this podcast. And we lived there until David and I both went to A&M, and we love the Valley still, and we need to get down there with the kids.
We do.
Yeah. So good.
I like to call it the Woodlands of South Texas.
Ryan compares McAllen, Texas to the Woodlands, so if you're interested in comparing the validity of that statement, please visit McAllen and then drive through the Woodlands and shoot me an email, and I would be very curious to hear your thoughts.
Awesome. So good. All right, Ryan, what about you?
I grew up in Germany, in New York, in Russia, Indiana for a year, which I always usually skip when I talk to people because it's not that interesting.
What?
Yeah.
So interesting.
Yeah. Indiana.
Sorry. Yeah. I thought you were talking about Russia.
No.
Like, Russia is very
I always say Germany, New York, Russia. And I usually skip to Texas.
Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah. A little bit in Indianapolis too.
Okay. And then good old Magnolia.
Yep.
So fun.
Where the city meets the country.
Yeah, that's right.
So great. I guess what did, like, out of college, what did you guys both do? So you got married, but were you both working? What did that look like?
Yeah, we lived in Dallas when we first graduated, and we worked for the Big Four accounting. I worked for PwC, Katie worked for Deloitte. So.
And we loved it. I worked at Deloitte for exactly 1 year, and then went and did some oil and gas accounting until we moved to Houston, and then did nonprofit finance.
Yeah, you had to stay 1 year to get your signing bonus.
Yeah, I got that money.
Did what you had to do, got
and
out of there.
And then I exited the profession.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And I lasted a little bit longer. Mine wasn't as bad as Katie's. And then I came to work for Ron Blue.
Perfect. And you've been there how long, Ryan?
That's almost 9 years.
9 years?
Too.
Wow. So, that's
yeah,
really crazy.
Which is kind of crazy.
Okay.
Doesn't feel like that long.
Cool.
Throw a big party for 10.
Oh, let's do it. I love that. Fantastic. So that's a little bit about you guys. And really what we're talking about today is what it looks like to hold your money and accountability with community. And you guys have a really cool story from about 7 years ago where you walked that out. And so I'd love for you to preface this conversation with what that looked like. And then we'll maybe dive into kind of the different questions and what we can glean from that.
Yeah. So 7 years ago, I don't even know why we did this. Do you remember why?
I think it started with Randy Schrader.
It may have, yeah.
Where all good things all good begin.
Whataburger and Randy Schrader. It's what we need.
Don't
need
start
to
know. Anything outside those two lines. I think it was Randy's idea, or he had done it. I'm not exactly sure. But he gave us the template for the idea.
Yeah. So Katie and I sat down with Blake and Megan Mankin and Jake and Kara Walker. And we reached out to them and said, hey, we want to try this crazy thing of just being super accountable with our money. We just want to sit down one night and like tell you everything about our financial situation and have you ask us questions. And then if you're
would
up
you
into
be
it, we would like to do the same thing with you.
So cool. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that was all birthed out of just the weird fact that like money is the only thing in the church that you can't talk about. Mm. Like you can... especially at Hope, which is like a really deep, full of accountability. Like people were talking about sex and parenting and pornography, but still no one talked about money. It's like the one last taboo area that you just don't want to talk about with anyone. And so we wanted to get rid of that last taboo.
Mm-hmm. So what was the response when you reached out to those wonderful people?
I mean, from our perspective, it was, they said, sure, let's do it. I don't know what went on behind the scenes.
Yeah. Okay, so you guys met together. And what did the structure of that night look like?
Well, we got together and we opened a bottle of wine. And we just prayed to start. Mm-hmm. And we just really talked about why we were doing it. Okay. And we all really trusted each other. We were really good friends at that point.
Yeah.
And we said, we don't really know what this is going to look like or what we're going to feel tonight. But we just feel like we need to be completely transparent in all areas of our life, including this one. And so Katie and I went first, and we just put our financial situation up on the big screen and talked through it. We talked through our net worth and our giving and our saving and our spending. We talked about our relationship and how money affected it. And then they went around and asked us questions.
And then was that reciprocated?
Yeah.
That they were all prepared. So they went into that night prepared to do that as well.
Yeah.
Wow.
We all came with the same Excel spreadsheet. Ryan had sent it to all of us. And it had your income, how much you're making, how much you're spending, how much you're get. Like, it broke it all down. And we just put it straight up on the flat screen TV.
Wow.
And then at the end of each person, or each couple's turn, the other two couples prayed over.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Oh my goodness.
We all went around.
I want to do this. That's so fun.
It was super powerful for sure.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was.
So we'll dive more into that because there's a ton there. But I wanted to, that to kind of preface the question of where were you guys at before, like, kind of two parts to this. Before you were married, what did your individual relationships with money look like? And then once you got married, what did money look like in that kind of leading up to this time where you shared in community?
Yeah. This goes back to my money story, but my dad, we moved to Houston and he worked for Enron and like 3 months later he lost his job.
Yeah.
And so I saw that whole situation unfold and it took him a long time to get another job. And that like really marked me. And so from that point on, I was really kind of like a hoarder, like not like a physical, like object hoarder, but a money hoarder where in my mind, it was like, well, that's never going to happen to me. So I need to have like as much money as I can to make sure that doesn't happen. And so, and I would give. And like, I think I knew what the Bible said about money for the basics. And I would try and do that. But my motivation was always, I need to take care of myself.
Yeah, I'm sorry that happened.
Oh, I mean, it's very unique.
Yeah, it's hard.
We talked about it in like every single accounting class I ever took.
Yeah, so true. A&M especially.
Yeah. Then, I mean, he always had a really good sense of humor about it.
Yeah.
Like that year we took our Christmas picture in front of the Enron sign.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, I'd love to see that.
So,
that's amazing.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's you before marriage. What about you,
yes.
Katie?
So I have the immense privilege of having grown up in a family that did not hurt for money and money was never an issue, but also we were told no a lot. So I certainly would not say we were spoiled. But when I was out of college and spending my own money, I think I was a strange balance of being responsible and also not. I knew I was supposed to save 10%, so I saved 10%. I knew I was supposed to max out my 401k, so I maxed out my 401k. But anything beyond my expenses, rent, 401k, you know, I wasn't paying for a car. That money was very much play money. And I never looked at my bank account because I was playing. And what a day.
Yeah.
And one of the big joys for me related to money is spending it on other people. I love buying gifts. I love taking people out to dinner. And sometimes I did that very responsibly and sometimes I did it less responsibly. So I think I came into marriage financially very healthy, had saved a decent amount of money. And all of that, but certainly was not paying a ton of attention to my finances because it, for me at the time, wasn't much of an issue. I was making more than I was spending and felt great about that.
Yeah. And I was really surprised when we got married because Katie had a lot more money than I thought that she would. So
sure did.
Yeah.
Well done, Katie.
Yeah.
Way to go. So you guys got married and as it happens with everyone who gets married, money is just a thing that becomes shared and It's new. It's very new. You got to figure out that dynamic. So what did that process look like for you guys?
I thought it was great at first because we were both working.
Making plenty of money.
Making a lot of money. And then like 3 months into our marriage, I left Mineral Blue to make less money. Katie decided she wanted to work nonprofits to make a lot less money. And it took her a while to find a job. And so for a while we were living like half of what we were before, or less than half, probably.
Way less than half. That's a shift. I would say probably a quarter because I had zero income.
Yeah. Okay.
And so that kind of freaked me out a little bit.
Okay. Yeah.
And I think Ryan was freaked out about it, and I was not at all freaked out about it, and I could have been a little more conscious of the fact. I don't think the reality that I was going to make half as much as I was making had really sunk in. My thought was always, I don't care about money. I could not make money. I don't need money to be happy. And then you make a lot less money, and you're like, oh
money really
I guess
does.
I should think about it. I guess I should think about what I'm doing.
Okay. It just looks different.
And I wasn't totally ready for that. I made the decision to switch to nonprofit without kind of knowing the reality of what that would look like.
Okay. That's a big change.
It was a big change.
Yeah. And so that led to a little bit of conflict in our marriage. And that was pretty much the only thing.
Ryan and I had a very easy first year of marriage. Like, it was very fun and not a lot of conflict. The only thing we argued about was money.
Yeah.
And it wasn't constant, but I think the conversations around it weren't very productive. Mm-hmm. And my feelings ended up usually getting hurt, and Ryan ended up frustrated.
Yeah.
Or not feeling safe. Mm-hmm. To his point of wanting to be safer on money and having the idea of, I'm not going to let that happen to me. I won't end up in a position where I feel vulnerable around money and how much we have. I made him nervous.
That's right.
So at that point, did you kind of know each other's money stories? I know it's a new concept we're kind of talking about.
But no, we had never talked about our money stories.
So you didn't really know that Katie came from a perspective where she hadn't felt that need to really like save up and store, whereas like your perspective and your family, Ryan, shaped that need for security with that.
Yeah, and I don't even think that I had done very much self-analysis that. That wasn't until I met Randy that I started doing that. So.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah. So where is this, like, the shift around Blue, the shift to you working in nonprofit, where is that on the timeline in comparison to the conversation with the Mankins and the Walkers that you guys mentioned earlier?
This was the year ahead of that. So we moved here in 2012, at the end of 2012, and like probably like a year later we were doing this. We were having this night with the Mankins and the Walkers.
I think almost exactly.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's a lot of relational change. Both of your jobs changed. Mm-hmm. Your financial situation wasn't slightly altered, but like significantly altered.
Yeah.
And so in that conflict, did the conflict propel you guys to go, we need to loop friends into this or trusted accountability? Like, how did that connect?
It probably should have.
Yeah.
But I think because our arguments weren't like blow up. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It didn't feel as big as it was, I think, once we dug into it. So we knew that we were having disagreements around money and we'd had some arguments around money. Mm-hmm. I don't think we realized how deep those feelings went until we really did this night with the Mankins, but even preparing to, and the Walkers, but even preparing to meet with them and having to talk through some of that stuff, I think we realized that we were both assuming things about one another and had maybe had some hurt that we didn't realize.
Wow.
Yeah, it was still like, our relationship was great and we had a really fun first year of marriage.
Yeah, that's great.
It was just like this side thing that it would come up every now and then.
Yeah. And when it did, it was not hurtful. Fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for being transparent about that. I mean, speaking personally, we have had, Tanner and I have had many conflicts in the same way. Like one of us, I'm coming from this big security mindset and trying to trust Tanner, even though he's not coming at our conflict or our conversations with that need for security, because that just wasn't his story. And so being transparent about that probably frees up a lot of people listening in their own marriages and their own relationships that, you know, it's very normal to struggle.
Yes,
and
definitely.
To be different. Like, you've probably married someone who's not exactly like you, and that's probably for the better in a lot of ways, but with money that can just become very discouraging, because if you're on the end of things where you're wanting for money or needing money, mm-hmm. that can just really infiltrate everything about your life. And I know that's not what you guys are saying is happening, but I think people will be encouraged by that level of transparency.
Yeah. Yeah, my parents love this book called His Brain, Her Brain. Mm. And one of the big parts of the book talks about the norms that you come into a marriage with. So not only your cultural norms, but the familial norms. So, and they encourage you to talk about, well, in my family, my dad did this. Like, my dad did the dishes.
And my mom cooked.
And my mom cooked or something like that. Or whatever it is. And there's so much room for miscommunication there. Mm. On, like, really small, insignificant things, like emptying the dishwasher or something like that. Because it could, like in one person's family, it could be like a sign of like love and respect. Like, I want to do this for you. Right. I want to do this for my wife.
Right.
And then in another family, it could be like, well, you're not trusting me to do this. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of room for misinterpretation and for conflict. And money is one of those areas that we all have our family norms, our cultural norms, then also just our own personal money story that feeds into how we react when money comes up.
I think too, money is the one thing like you have no experience in doing with other people. So you have friendships that you're maybe conflicting within and learning how to love people well, and you're dating for a while. And so you're going through some of that stuff, relational stuff through dating. And then money, you've never probably shared a bank account with anyone in the same way that you do when you're married. It's the most new thing you're doing for the most part. And so I think it's just rife with potential for pain and conflict and miscommunication.
Yeah.
Just brand new.
Yeah.
Especially if you're not intentional about it.
Yeah.
And you don't have those conversations.
Yeah.
Which we weren't really having.
Sure. Most people aren't.
Yeah. It's easier not to sometimes. So you think it's easier not to.
Yeah. Well, and aside from just like the very practical reality of sharing a bank account and just that transparency, knowing that every spending decision you make is a spending decision that impacts someone else or your spouse directly or your kids or whoever it is, the Bible is also just so clear about the struggle between serving God and serving money, or loving God and loving money, and that you can't do both. You have to have one. We've talked about that a lot in the last several episodes, but that really comes into play in relationships. So
it definitely does.
Money is more important than you think it is.
It really is.
Yeah.
And I think we would have these conversations where, I mean, the root of most of our issues was Katie wanting to spend money and me thinking it was a bad idea.
That about sums it up.
There we go. Boil it down.
Yeah. And I think at one point, I don't remember if this was leading up to the conversation or a conversation we had before, where you said, well, I just feel like you don't trust me with money.
Yes.
And the reality was I didn't, because I didn't think that she saw the big picture of what we were trying to do. And I never really brought her into that. We never discussed what that big picture was.
Wow.
And so, but yeah, and that was a realization for me. I was like, man, maybe I really don't.
Wow.
Maybe we should talk about this.
Yeah.
It came down to just a trust issue.
Yeah.
And I could have done more to involve myself in the big picture. We talked a lot about budget and what we were spending, but not a ton about what our goals were around money. And I think Ryan just coming from maybe a place of some fear around how much money we had, and me coming from a place of total freedom about how much money we had, we were just operating in completely different worlds. And the truth is, I was not spending a ton of money at all. But the way I was talking about money, in fact, we were talking about it leading up to this recording this, and Ryan said, well, I just remember when you redecorated our apartment. And it was so funny because I didn't buy a single thing in that apartment. Not one thing. I cut pages out of books and I made crafts. I like made everything. But the way I talked about that apartment, I would constantly be like, we should get new couches, or we should get new this, or we should get new that. And it really stressed Ryan out. It made him feel like, I'm just gonna go wild and buy everything. And in my head, I was just kind of talking. Like, I'm not a spend. I would never have actually pulled the trigger on
it. You're making crafts at home.
I was fashioning garland out of Harry Potter books.
Sure.
But so it was it wasn't even my actions that were causing him anxiety, I don't think. It was just the way I was talking about money.
Yeah, okay. It was like the theoretical actions.
Even though I never did any of those.
Yeah.
Gosh.
Yeah.
It's like a whole psychological element at play here. Money. Just with humans and just how much we assume.
Yes.
Like, oh, you said this thing. You must have gone out and purchased $10,000 worth of new furniture for our apartment, when in reality, Katie is cutting pages out of books to make decor.
But it scared Ryan the way I was talking, really. Yeah. It scared him, but we weren't having that conversation.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think I just had some unrealistic goals, too, that we never talked about.
Yeah.
Sure. I probably still don't know what they were.
we talked about it eventually, but I think at that point, I was trying to save like 50%. Yeah. Like, so like everything that Katie made, we just wanted to save.
Oh, that's true. We were going to live off of Ryan's paycheck.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I remember just Katie being like, oh my, like, why?
Yeah.
And I didn't have a good answer.
Yeah.
I want to. Yeah. It feels good.
Yeah. Which, oh, wow. Man, I relate to you a lot, Ryan. And I feel like you've been following me around and are speaking my story.
Trying to save half the Tanner.
Yeah. It's like, why is that so important to you? It just is. I don't know. It just is. Is there anything else about your relationship with money and each other prior to this conversation that you feel like would be helpful for us to hear?
I feel like that pretty much sums it up.
Yeah, I think I just wanted a lot of control.
Yeah.
And Katie wanted a lot of freedom.
I wanted to play.
Yeah.
And you wanted to be understood by each other.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There's nothing worse than not being understood in your intention.
Yeah. But I don't even think we knew that at that point.
Yeah.
Or I didn't know that.
No,
but
definitely.
That needed to be understood.
We need Randy Schrader in the equation before we got to that
point. And a Whataburger. What can you do? I love it. Okay. So you guys shared a little bit about this conversation with the Mankins and the Walkers and just the framework of that time, which sounds incredible. So that idea you said came from Randy. Randy and Stacy been doing this with other couples?
I think it was a conceptual idea that he had.
Okay.
And I took it and just like did it.
Did you tell him you were going to do this?
Yeah. I'll ask him about that. But yeah, I don't know if I told him I was going to, but I told him I did right after I did it. And we talked about it. We were excited.
What did he think about that?
He loved it.
Oh, I loved it.
Yeah. He really, really liked it. So yeah, I think it was one of those conceptual things. Like, you know, we should really
just go for it.
Yeah. But he had like a spreadsheet like designed for this. So he may have done it before.
Okay.
But it was like, this is your net worth. Here's the giving, spending, savings. Here's like 5 questions to ask.
Okay.
Each other. Yeah. The couples.
Okay.
So he must have done it before.
Okay. That's awesome. We'll have to ask him about that.
Yeah.
So what fears and hopes and excitement did you come into this conversation with?
Such a good question.
Yeah, I had no idea how it was going to go.
Sure.
And it's just such a weird thing to be vulnerable with money. It's a really vulnerable topic.
Yeah.
And I was worried that being so open with each other, so if somebody made more than me, I would be jealous.
Mm.
And if somebody made less than me, then I would be prideful.
Mm.
And I just, it felt like a lose-lose. Like, either way, it was really bad. And I think Blake said this in the lead-up, but, like, if those feelings come up, that's a good thing. Because that's when we dig into, okay, why are you feeling that?
Wow.
It was very wise and typical Blake.
Yeah, so true.
But
I think that was one of the biggest takeaways, is when you think about sharing your actual money, not sharing conceptually how money is going, but showing someone the exact numbers in your bank account.
Yeah.
What feelings does that arise in you, and how can you really pay close attention to those feelings? Because Blake was exactly right.
Mm-hmm.
It brought up so many feelings of fear, really, for could it change the dynamics of our relationships? Like, once everyone knows what everyone makes, does that make anyone feel insecure? Or does that make people look at the way we spend our money when we do spend it and think, oh, maybe I shouldn't have done that based on what we saw or whatever. And paying really close attention to, how does it make you feel when you think about showing someone your money? Because that probably tells you a lot what you need to know about how you're viewing it.
Mm-hmm.
So the pride and jealousy that would show us that money means more to us than we think it does. Because we don't actually think anyone who makes more money is better than anyone who doesn't make money.
Yeah.
But when you feel that gut reaction to showing someone your money, you're like, oh, maybe that is inside of me and I just don't realize it and I need to kind of gut that out.
That's incredible. So good. Man, I would have loved to. We need to do this.
Let's do it.
That's the takeaway is that I think hope walks us out so well that if we're going to be transparent and vulnerable and bear the depths of our sin, mm-hmm. it should be much easier for us to talk about our financial situations. Absolutely. In theory. Mm-hmm. But I do think money can have a lot of sin tendencies. Definitely. Wrapped up in it, and so it kind of comes back on the same playing field. But I'd love for us to see this happening more. So what were the hopes going into that?
I think the hope was just some to walk in some level of freedom with our the way that we interact with money, but also to walk through that transparency with somebody and just know that those people are walking with you through it and we're not alone figuring these things out. And I feel like the most valuable part of the night ended up being not like revealing our finances. That was like kind of the lead up. It really made us think through how money made us feel and how our money made us feel. But the most impactful part of the night was like the questions we asked each other of how's your relationship with each other and money and why is it that way? And what can we do to help you in that?
How can we be praying for
you? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we didn't have a ton of hopes. I don't think it almost felt like an experiment.
Yeah, let's try this out.
Like, let's just see how it goes. And I think it felt kind of fun to be trying something new and different. And it felt like we were with people we could trust. Mm-hmm. And for us moving to a new city and these were new relationships, it felt kind of like, oh, this is cool. Like, we have this deep friendship that we didn't have a year ago. Let's see what this does to it.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't some grand plan, and I don't know that we expected much change even.
Yeah, that's true.
But it was just kind of like, let's try it and see what happens.
Yeah. Low bar.
Yeah.
Low stakes.
A little dangerous.
Yeah. I love that.
Living okay. on the edge.
So anything else about the actual time that you want to share, and then we'll kind of dig into what happened as a result of that.
Yeah. Well, we started off by praying, which I thought was really important. Just asking that, like, we would have peace over any uneasiness or guilt or shame that we felt throughout the night. Yeah, that was really important. It's asking for his blessing over that area of our lives. Yeah, but the actual night was pretty simple. We just, each couple kind of put their stuff up on the big screen. We talked mm-hmm. through it, and then we asked each other questions.
Cool.
And it was really helpful. And even the questions people asked us were really helpful in us asking them questions that I wouldn't have thought of.
And I think people asking us questions was the thing that made us realize our conflict around money was more serious than we thought it was.
Yeah.
Because I think we went in pretty light about it. Mm-hmm. And then being asked questions about how often are you arguing about money?
Yeah.
What does that look like? How do those conversations end? Do they come to a healthy conclusion? And our answers were, oh, I think we're arguing about this more than we realize.
Yeah.
I don't think we're actually getting to really place at the end where we both feel at peace about where we're at. And so I think the questions are what made us realize, you know, if this isn't something we address now, it's going to be a thing.
Yeah.
Throughout our marriage. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that was super helpful.
Because y'all were only a year or so.
Yeah, we'd been married exactly a year, basically.
Yeah.
It could have completely changed the trajectory of your marriage.
Absolutely. We were brand new babes.
And I think we were very specific about, I think we like said some very specific things about what we were doing. Like, this isn't about like shame or
showing how great you're doing.
Yeah. Yeah. And like explicitly saying, like, if you feel uncomfortable and at any point tonight, let's break that down. Let's talk about it of why you're feeling that way. If you feel any feelings come up that you're surprised by, let's talk about it. And that's like almost the most valuable part of tonight. It's just like talking about the emotional side and what you're feeling.
Mm-hmm. At the end, the other two couples prayed over whoever had just gone mm-hmm. and been asked questions and showed their money. And that was also super powerful.
It was, yeah.
That was my favorite part for sure.
Man, this is just really profound and encouraging. So coming out of that night, kind of three questions. One, how did this change your own personal relationship with money, even just like outside of your marriage? Because even in your marriage, you still have your own view that you carry around with you all day. So what did that look like coming out of that night of seeing others share about that and then being known, being prayed over, asking questions, all that good stuff?
I think the first thing I felt was really thankful. Like, thankful that we had friends that knew us more fully than they had before, and that we could talk. And just having people that know your situation that you can talk to, and they have context now of anything you want to talk about, money or your relationship.
You don't have to speak in vague generalities like we do around money. It's like, we never want to just tell someone a dollar amount. Mm-hmm. So whenever we're talking about money decisions, we're always having these kind of vague, amorphous conversations instead of just getting to it with each other.
Yeah. I feel like this was like before HAR too. It's like,
no one knew how much your house
was. Yeah.
Yeah. That's so good.
You can set it in
a
link.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think I just felt a lot of freedom.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That's great.
A lot of freedom and thankfulness and gratefulness.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
Katie.
I totally agree. I think friendship-wise, it just felt exciting to have people know you more. It's like when you sit in an accountability group and you say something out loud, maybe it's a sin struggle, maybe it's a hard relationship in your life. Anything you share with people that you've never shared with someone before, you leave, hopefully, if you're in a healthy group, feeling a lot lighter.
Yeah.
And that is what it felt like. It felt like so I've shown more of myself and I feel lighter than I did when I walked in here, which was very exciting. And then for our marriage, it had a huge ramifications.
Yeah.
But even just on the friendship and kind of viewing money in general, it was pretty powerful. And I think took some of the burden of money off, if that makes sense.
Yeah, just a lot of freedom.
It's amazing. Yeah. I love that. So you said your marriage, the ramifications were profound. What does that look like?
I think something about having people pray over our money, those people pray over us and how we interacted with money, broke whatever, I don't know if it was spiritual warfare, I don't know if it's just us relationally, I don't know exactly what it was, but whatever it was just completely broke that night. Ryan and I certainly now have hard conversations around money and conversations where we disagree sometimes, but we have since never argued about money the way we
did
before. No, absolutely.
That's
not.
Like 8 or 8 years ago, like 8 years of...
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it just broke. That whatever tension we were living with just completely broke. We don't argue or fight. We don't fight about money. And we haven't since we did that.
Okay.
And that's been... And we just renovated our house.
You did. That's a big financial undertaking.
We made it through that.
It's true.
Well, you've had kids since then. And like Asher's
big
in
money
school
stuff
and all these things. Yeah.
Yeah, it's more complicated now.
I stopped working.
Yeah.
At some point we went actually down to one income.
Yeah.
Pulling in my huge nonprofit.
Rewards in heaven, Katie.
Yes. All the crowns. All the jewels on the crowns. No, but I think we've done a lot of big money things and the Lord has been really kind to keep those conversations very healthy and not always agreeing.
Okay.
Sometimes we still have different goals. Like, I want a new couch, and Ryan doesn't want a new couch, or whatever. Very practical things. But it hasn't ended up where we used to be. And now that we understand where Ryan and I are coming from, I have reminded him, like, hey, you can trust me with money.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you look back at the last 9 years of our marriage, I think now I have built up the trust that I can like handle it. I'm not trying to spend money we don't have. I promise I care about this. Like, we've just built up the capital now so that if I see that fear in him coming out, then I can speak to it and remind him of truth. And I think you actually don't remind me of my truth that often, which is kind of I can also see in myself where I've let the wheels come off a little bit.
Yeah.
And I just want to like play and have
fun.
And I'm not dealing with the reality of the situation.
Yeah. I feel like we're much more in sync now too on the
big
picture goals. Like, we're more intentional about talking about that every year.
Okay.
This is what the year looks like.
Where are we headed?
What do we want to do with our money?
We no longer save 50% of our
money.
Yeah.
I would be having so many follow-up questions if you did.
Yeah.
So you guys had mentioned that with conflict that you guys had heard each other just in those conversations beforehand about money. Do you, even though you're not arguing about money, in those times where you disagree, do you guys feel like you're carrying hurt away from those conversations anymore? Or is it really just, you know, we don't see eye to eye, we're going to keep pressing in until we come to an agreement on how to handle this?
Yeah, I think it's definitely more the second one. I don't feel like we hurt.
One, thankfully, because of Randy and Stacy and a lot of the relational ministry stuff we've learned from then, I think if I doubt Ryan's feelings are ever hurt in money conversations, because you just probably feel a lot more confident in that area. But I think even in conversations we've had since, if I again get the feeling that I'm not being trusted and I'm finding that hurtful, it's solved very quickly in the moment. Like, hey, this is what I'm feeling. Like, you're speaking to me as if I'm an older version of myself, and I really want you to believe that I'm this new version of myself. And I think the second I communicate that, it's received well. And Ryan says, you're right. I think I might be doing that. And vice versa, I recognize pretty quickly in myself when I'm making Ryan nervous and have apologized, especially around the renovation sometimes before we decided exactly what we were doing. If I'd be in this house and saying like, oh, these floors are making me nuts. Like, we need new floor, like just complaining about the house. I didn't realize I was making Ryan nervous about, you know, oh, we don't have enough money to do all this stuff Katie wants. And again, I'm just like complaining, whining about the house. But we got there so much quicker and without the like anger, resentment, just like lashing out. It was just the emotional conversation and not the...
That is so huge.
Big conversation. You know, the, I don't know, drama. Money conversations.
So. That was so huge.
Yeah, I think it's one of the biggest blessings in our marriage is money definitely. Has gone well. And to be also very clear, we've been hugely blessed. So I don't want to be confused about that either. We honestly just don't... We haven't had a big money incident. Ryan hasn't lost his job. We haven't had something. We haven't had medical bills we can't catch up with. Like, we've been hugely blessed in the area of money. So I don't want to also be confused about that. I think the opportunity for conflict is a lot more prevalent when you're dealing with scarcity. And Ryan and I haven't had to deal with scarcity while we've been married. So that's been a huge privilege. And... has made it easier not to conflict too.
For sure.
Anything to add there, Ryan?
I don't think so. And Katie in general is really good about, she makes the money part of it a lot easier because she's not somebody who is always saying, oh, I wish we had money, we could do this and this and this and this.
Yeah.
And just very content and is always very like thankful and appreciative for the money that we do have. And even when I'm not content, I want to do these things and these things and these things. She's quick to rein me back in and say, we have so much money. Like, I'm so thankful for where we are right now. We don't need to be thinking about that. So I'm very appreciative of her.
And also what's so wonderful about the giant turnaround that money has taken is now I feel like the stuff that Ryan wants to do is spend money on people. It's not have more money. So when Ryan's getting frustrated or feeling like, oh, what if I could do this? Or what if I did this and we could have enough money to do this? It's like, what if we could just like go pay off someone's mortgage? I could give Katie the whatever she wants for the renovation. And I'm like, whoa. Yeah. We're like hugely blessed and we're doing what we can. And but it's really been sweet to see that change in Ryan too. That his desire now, his unfulfilled desire that he's talking about money sometimes is... almost 100% of the time to bless other people, which has been really sweet.
Oh, I have so many questions. So that, Ryan, do you feel like that comes from this conversation with friends in community about money, that you walked away with so much freedom that you then felt not paralyzed in your money situation anymore?
Yeah, that was definitely part of it. I think it's been an ongoing growth
over the last
7 years. But... that was definitely like a really good catalyst for those feelings.
And Ryan's really faithful in accountability relationships with people to talk about money specifically. So he'll talk, he has a couple of friends, and then he has Randy obviously too, that he goes to and is very transparent and says, you know, I'm feeling this thing and discontent about where we are. I'm feeling like, I'm feeling that urge to want more and to save more and to have more. And so Ryan has been super faithful to make that an ongoing part, I think, of your accountability relationships, which has been really neat to see. But this was definitely a catalyst for doing accountability with money.
I think it made me realize how important it was.
Well, this is so encouraging. as someone who's still very newly married, Tanner and I just celebrated 2 years of Woo-hoo. Marriage. And thank you. The relationship we're having with money is always increasing. You guys have been a huge part of helping that narrative change and get to a healthier spot. But it's encouraging to look at people that are several years down the road who have a testimony of having a regroup moment, coming into accountability with community, and then seeing your marriage change for the better and your relationships mm-hmm. change for the better. It sounds like God's putting a lot of generosity on your minds. I mean, that, and you've had kids, and so you're like getting to the point where you're passing that onto your kids as that becomes more appropriate. Mm-hmm. So that's just really encouraging. I don't think anyone is too far gone from having the testimony that you guys have here. And I'm thankful that it happened so early in your marriage. That is really encouraging.
That was a huge blessing for us.
Absolutely.
I mean, that moving to Houston and immediately getting the leadership of Randy, and then also just a really solid group of friends we could be transparent with, was life-changing for us.
And a church that prioritized transparency mm-hmm. so heavily. Like, we never would have done that if the water we were swimming in at Hope Church wasn't complete and total vulnerability.
Makes
and transparency.
Sense. Yeah.
But this wouldn't have been our story if we hadn't moved to Houston.
Yep.
And
yeah.
ended up at Hope and working with Randy.
Wow. Still be working at the Big Four.
Oh my. So the last piece that I kind of want to address is how this changed or improved or added stress to your relationship with the Mankins or the Walkers or anyone, frankly, in your community or family that you have been vulnerable with financially. What has that looked like?
Yeah, it hasn't hurt at all. I think if anything, it's made our relationships much stronger and deeper and better.
And I think just as an encouragement to people who the idea of this really freaks them out. And maybe, truth be told, you're in a place of not financial stability mm-hmm. and a place of finances are getting scary and there's a reason they're causing conflict, and it's because you're running out of money. Like, if finances are a huge burden, I would say even more so, sit with someone, like ask for help, because even though that wasn't the case with us, it was more of a relational conflict as opposed to a dollars and cents, mm-hmm. someone help me figure this out conflict. Either way is so, 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 so helpful. And it's probably even more helpful in a period of stress. And I think it's just so easy to feel like money means more than it does. Mm-hmm. Like, money means success or money means faithfulness even, when it might not. Somebody it might have nothing to do with stewardship. And so I would just really encourage people who this causes them a lot of stress to even think about doing, that probably means it's more important than you realize. Like, the more it stresses you out, the more important it probably is to be
That's a really good point.
financially transparent with people, because it didn't cause us a ton of stress thinking about doing it. And it still has been hugely impactful in our marriage. So, and our friendships. It was great. It felt like, oh, this is exciting. And we're trying something new and being real with each other in a new, different way.
Well, that conversation removes any aloneness financially. And that's a big thing Randy and Stacey talk about. A big part of that relational needs is that we feel alone because we're in a broken, fallen world, but that we weren't created for aloneness. God provided Eve for Adam. And, you know, you guys were probably not feeling alone in every other part of your life, but maybe you were feeling lonely financially.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people do.
Yeah, I mean, I certainly have. But it's always been so sweet just to get it off your chest and throw it at someone else. Someone else knows.
You know, drag it into the light.
Yes.
The power's in the darkness, always.
Yeah, did you guys feel like that was true for you?
Definitely.
Yeah. Everyone is dealing with money in their marriage. No one is escaping money. It is an issue we all have to figure it out. So to think that you're the people who are arguing about money and like it's some dark secret that no one else has any experience with is just a lie from the enemy to keep you not telling people about what's going on. So
yeah,
so great.
Fight against it. Don't let them win.
Yeah.
this is profound and such a cool thing to discuss with you guys, but kind of walking away from this, we'd love to empower anyone listening who has not done this to do this in their own life. And I would imagine it hits most people with a little bit of like, oh, they want me to do what? I thought I was just going to listen to someone talk about a 401k and now they're telling me I need to go share my finances with community. What would you say kind of are some good first steps? And one of the first things that comes to mind that you guys have mentioned and referenced is that you found vulnerability and transparency at Hope Church, and that that led you to have some confidence that this wouldn't be a complete nightmare to have this conversation. And arguably, if those people are handling your sin well, and you're sharing what you're struggling with, and like the deep parts of your struggles, and they're receiving that well and stewarding that well and holding that carefully, wouldn't they also hold this well?
Sure.
So what would you say to people that haven't done this and maybe want to do this, or maybe they don't want to do this? Like, why do they need to do it?
More likely.
Why do we need to do this?
I think a big part of it is finding safe people. Like, I don't think we're saying show your money to everyone.
Yeah.
Find safe people who you trust, who have proven to be trustworthy, who, like you're saying, you know, we had walked in transparency and accountability with the Walkers and Minkins before, and we trusted them with this. And so find those people that you can trust with it. And that's a really great jumping off point.
Yeah. But the, go back to your question, the reason you do it is to walk in financial freedom. And it's just to take that burden off of yourself and share with others. It's so powerful. If it was for us, then I think it would be for everyone who does this.
Absolutely. And we talk so much about Romans 12:15.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. And both of those things are prevalent in money.
So good.
It's just more of an opportunity to do that with people you love and care about.
Well, it goes back to the question of like, why wouldn't you do it with this part of your life?
Yeah.
If you're vulnerable with everywhere else in your life, why is money different?
Mm. Is there anything else you guys want to share about this?
I don't think so. I wrote a blog about this on the Hope website like 7 years ago.
I love that.
If you want to reference that.
Yeah, we'll be sure to link that.
And we could probably also post like the original document that Randy put together.
Okay.
Just like if anyone wants to go and do this for themselves.
Okay.
And then if you have any questions about how to do it or just exactly how it went, like a more detailed breakdown, or you think you want to do it and you have like a lot of fear around it and you want to talk about that before kind of diving in with people, then we would love to chat with whoever.
Oh, I love that.
And I'll volunteer Ryan as a tribute, but too, if like it makes you nervous enough that you want someone to facilitate it at some point, like I feel like we could probably figure that out.
That's true.
If you have a group of people and you're like, can you come be the overseer of this and kind of teach us how to do it? Then I think Ryan or I are both of us
would be
happy
to
do that.
Sure. Yeah. I love just
then call Blake Mankin at 214.
Fantastic. We'll be sure and link your blog. Yeah. I cannot wait to read
link
that and get Randy's notes. And this has just been so encouraging to hear about how you guys have done this and clearly the profound impact it's had on your lives.
Yeah.
Like that's really special. So I hope that could become true for anyone listening today. So if you guys have any questions or want to take Ryan, Katie, or Blake up on their generous offers, be sure to connect with us and let us know. And if this conversation prompts any other questions for you regarding your specific financial situation or what it would look like to walk this out, don't hesitate to reach out and let us know how we can help you. We love you all so much and look forward to connecting next time.